the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
My name is Simon. I'm on the staff here at Belmont. I'm on the leadership team and also work in the world of software. Welcome. It's great to have you with us this morning. Now, as I'm sure you're aware, we have entered, as of Thursday, lockdown 2.0. So various churches, businesses, organizations have been sending out their information as to how lockdown has impacted them. You'll see something from the leadership team. Perhaps you've seen that by email already, or you'll have seen something on our YouTube channel. Now, as I was taking a look through the various different announcements this week, I was struck by one from Norwich Cathedral. They announced, sadly, that their last public worship service had taken place, but they said they'd remain open to provide a place for silliness, prayer, and reflection. I can only assume that they meant to write stillness, but it does raise an interesting idea. How about silliness as the missing aspect of our ministry as a church? I know plenty of people in this place who would be gifted and able to take the lead on that team. Now, we are built to seek and to look for a place of belonging. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could find that place? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take our place in the world, find that place where we just fit, where everything's just right? Well, today we're going to take a look at an image from the Bible that holds out that possibility to us, to you. We're going to be taking a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and towards the end, heading into chapter 13. So if you want to grab a Bible and turn to that passage, that would be fantastic. Now, if you've been following along with us recently, you know we've been in the book of Philippians, and we've just come to the end of that teaching series. And it's easy, isn't it, just to move on to the next thing. But we wanted to linger, really, and we wanted to spend a bit more time going over some of those key themes that Philippians raises for us. We wanted to spend some time holding on to the key theme of unity, of our body life together. Unity, partnership, being like-minded, having the same spirit, having the same purpose, having the same love, and having this Christ-like attitude towards one another. And we're going to do that this week and next by returning to the phrase body life. If you're a regular here at Belmont, that will be familiar to you. Now, as you're making your way to 1 Corinthians 12, you'll notice that your Bible has plenty of words in it. It's filled with hundreds and thousands of words, but no pictures, no maps, no charts, and no GIFs, and no memes. But it is a colourful picture book. It's filled with vivid images and metaphor. And I've got one for you today. The body of Christ. That's what we're going to be taking a look at this morning. We're going to be taking a look at this living, breathing image for the church. So let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and from verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one spirit. Hold on. Let's just stop there. Why should I read this? Why should I read this to you? Let's get some YouTube superstars to read our passage for us. Now, you'll need to trust me that my sermon preparation does amount to more than typing the Bible passage into YouTube. However, when I did do that, to my complete surprise, there was a familiar face looking back at me. There was David Eggins of Belmont, Exeter, and of the Rainbow House Group. And there he was, sitting under a YouTube search of 1 Corinthians reading. David, along with his friends Claire and Phil, have made this amazing reading of 1 Corinthians 12. And so I thought they could read our passage this morning. Let's pray and I'll hand over to them. Lord Jesus, we are your church. We are your body. Strengthen us now, we pray. Speak to us now, we pray. In your name, amen.
We were all baptized by one Spirit
to form one body.
We were all given the one Spirit.
The body is not made in one part,
but of many.
Because I'm not a man,
I do not belong to the body.
And if the ear should say,
because I'm not an eye,
I do not belong to the body,
it would not stop being part of the body.
God has placed the parts in the body.
Anything more.
Just as he wanted to be.
Those parts that seem to be weaker
are indispensable.
The parts we think are less vulnerable.
We see, we bless you honour.
We treat with special honour.
We treat with special honour.
God put the body together.
His part should have equal concern
for each other.
Now you are the body of Christ.
And each one of you is a part of it.
Thank you, David and co, for that reading. Now, earlier in this book, 1 Corinthians, we read of the Lord Jesus. We read of the Lord Jesus and his crucifixion. We read that his death upon the cross is seen as foolish. It's seen as weak. But in fact, it is the very power and wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. That same dynamic that's at work at the cross, what looks like foolishness, what looks like weakness, is in fact wisdom and power. That same dynamic is at work in the church. The parts that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable, unmissable, essential. Verse 22. The parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. Verse 23. And why? Because God has put the body together, verse 24, and he's given greater honour to the parts that lacked it. Thank you, David, Chris, Bryony, and all at Livability for allowing us to enjoy that reading this morning. In fact, as I took a look at it on YouTube, it's got a mere 4,000 views. I think it really deserves 5,000, don't you? See what you can do. Now we're going to take a look at that remarkable phrase, the body of Christ. That phrase tells us a great deal about us. It tells us a great deal about the church. But don't miss, it tells us a great deal about Jesus too. If the church is the body of Christ, we have a living, organic relationship with him now, in the present tense, right now. He is leading his church. He isn't simply the founder who's passed from the scene, but the living, active head of the body. That means we're not subscribers to a club. We're not activists in a cause. We're not plugged into a network, but members of the body of Christ in this organic living relationship with him. Now, perhaps if we were to try and work our way towards a definition of the body of Christ, we might say something like this. We could say all those who've believed upon and have faith in Jesus Christ. That's a simple definition, and it speaks to the church global and the church universal. If you like, that's the 10,000 feet view. That's the satellite view. But Paul wrote to Corinth, a specific group of people at a specific time and for a specific purpose. He wrote to Chloe. He wrote to Crispus, Gaius, Stephanus, Fortunatus, Archaeus, Tertius, Erastus, and Quartus. Be careful if you're going to 1 Corinthians for your baby names. He may have had that 10,000-foot view in mind. He may have had the satellite view in mind, but I think 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13 are street level. This is ground level. This is the view on our street, the local church, the specific local church. That's who he's speaking to. And I think it has a great power for us today. We could illustrate it this way. Bit of an odd film choice, I admit, for lockdown. But have you ever seen the film Castaway? Tom Hanks is the main character. He's the sole survivor of a plane crash, and he washes up on a desert island. All of his attempts to signal for help fail. All of his attempts at getting off the island fail. In the end, we find that he's made a best friend out of a volleyball, and he's called him Wilson. At his lowest ebb, we find him trying to perform a tooth extraction on himself using an ice skate. I do hope lockdown 2.0 hasn't got that bad for any of us just yet. But let's think about our castaway. What does he need? What does he really need? Well, chances are, remembering that he's part of the whole worldwide race of mankind isn't going to help him a great deal. That's not going to provide him with a great deal of immediate practical help and comfort. What he really needs is something local and specific. What he needs is to hear a friend's voice. He needs a helping hand. He needs some semblance of human contact. And so it is with the body of Christ. As beautiful and as wonderful as the satellite view is, as the 10,000 foot view is, we need this ground level, street view version of the church. And that's exactly what Paul is speaking to as he develops this image of the body of Christ. He speaks this message into the torn up and divided world that's playing itself out in the Corinthian church. That's partly why I wanted us to take a look at 1 Corinthians after Philippians. Philippians has been one of the most upbeat and non-corrective of the New Testament books. Not so 1 Corinthians. Do you think we live in a fractured and polarized world? Well, that was nothing compared to 1 Corinthians. And yet, Paul's able to speak this message of unity and of love into the church. This passage is all about seeing people as God sees them. It's about seeing the world through biblical lenses, about seeing even the fractured and the polarized world that's playing itself out in the church, even there, seeing that that has the potentiality of the body of Christ. Here's what I think body life can look like at our street level, literally on the streets of Exeter, on Exeter High Street. Here's a story that I want to tell you, and it's about these guys. The Telegraph ran this byline. Husbands and wives, fathers and sons and best friends are being pulled apart by the referendum. Can you think back to 2016 and the Brexit referendum? Underneath that byline in the Telegraph was a picture of these two, Ed and Jackie from this church. Ed writes that they've both been out on the streets of Exeter campaigning on opposite sides of the referendum question, and their friendliness to each other, one remain, one leave, stood out like a sore thumb. So much so that this photographer from the Telegraph needed to snap it. Other campaigners, Ed writes, seem to be a little bit unnerved by these two's friendliness to one another. They were a little bit confused and thought it a little strange that these two could have, in fact, such a warm and friendly relationship. Ed writes that to us, it was clear, however much we were divided on the Brexit question, and it was a lot, they were united in Christ. They had a greater love. I love the picture that that story tells. You are not subscribers to a club. You're not plugged into a network. You're not activists in a cause, but members of a body. It goes so much deeper than our current and present worldly divisions. Now, this kind of unity in Christ is possible, and we see that in verses 14 to 21. But let's be honest, it's hard. It's really hard. Let's dive a little deeper there into our passage in verses 14 and 21. We read of the body and particular body parts. As I describe them, you might see yourself in these images that Paul is speaking about. Firstly, let's take a look at Mr. Foot in verse 21 and Mrs. Ear in verse 16. Let's say I had arranged to go out for a drink with Mr. Foot and Mrs. Ear at a COVID secure location. We've now moved that onto Zoom. As we speak together, Mr. Foot and Mrs. Ear, they say, because I'm not a hand or because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. What's going on here? What's going on for these two as they feel disconnected and distant? Well, perhaps they've got a too low a view of themselves. Perhaps it's easy to convince ourselves deep down that we're not needed, that the church doesn't need us, and that we feel useless, convinced that we've nothing to contribute. That couldn't be further from the truth. Scripture is absolutely emphatic. Although Mr. Foot and Mrs. Ear don't currently feel part of the body, Scripture's saying that you are no less integral than any other part of the body. The pandemic has led many people to feel disconnected, displaced, discouraged across the nation, continent, and the globe. But here's what God's word speaks into this specific situation. You may feel disconnected. You may feel disengaged. You may feel displaced, but that doesn't mean you've stopped being a part of his living body. You are precious and needed in that body. Perhaps here's a bit of a practical application for us. You might actually be struggling here with a bit of God's grace, struggling with the idea that you've been forgiven by God and that you've been brought into the family and been given a place and a purpose within it. Perhaps you could connect with the body in the week ahead. Who's it going to be? Who are you going to pick up the phone to, message, have some kind of connection with in the week ahead? And can you put that in motion right now? Well, secondly, there's another category of people. Let's take a look at them. Let's say I go for a drink with Mrs. I, verse 21, or Mr. Head in verse 22. They're saying, I don't need hands. I don't need feet. It's clear in this scenario that we've got folks who don't think they need others. They devalue other parts of the body. They think that church perhaps is about me and my area of interest, my gifting, my view of the world, people who think and act the same as me. It couldn't be further from the truth. Perhaps they're saying, if it weren't for us, this church would fall apart. Well, what's really sad here is that what's going on is a devaluing of the whole of the body. Perhaps a practical application here, is that you? Are there people you've written off? Are there those, as you look around the church, you think, I don't value their spirituality. I don't think they have anything to bring here. People whose thoughts and opinions you don't think are needed here. Well, these are people who have been baptized by that one Spirit, who have been brought into the body of Christ. This is seriously dangerous. You're potentially saying, I'm not sure Christ died for this person. I'm not sure this person has been given the one Spirit to drink. Well, finally, we move to this kind of unity being possible. But let's be honest, it isn't easy. How's it going to happen? How are we going to crack this? What's that going to look like? Well, Paul says, let me show you. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Having been speaking about the body and its many parts and yet being one, how's this going to happen? Paul says, let me show you. Let me show you a more excellent way. Verse 31 of chapter 12. And quite simply, it seems that love within the body is the secret to our being many and one. Let me read it to us now, and then we'll pray together. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Let's pray together. Living God, we praise you for your church. We praise you for placing us in the body of Christ. We praise you for the wonder of the global and universal church. And we praise you for the wonder of our local and specific church. We pray that as we move into lockdown 2.0, that you'd enable us to demonstrate the most excellent way in our life together. Lord of the church, we pray for our renewing so that you would be glorified. Amen.